Welcome to Pod Sing Say, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast, where every week we watch and discuss one episode of Avatar The Last Airbender. I'm your host, Abby, joined by my co-hosts, Jen, Nicole, and Steph. Today we're discussing Book 3, Chapter 7, The Runaway. In this episode, Team Avatar encounters monetary issues, so Toph uses her earthbending to scam Fire Nation civilians out of their funds, earning Katara's disapproval. Toph views Katara as acting too motherly, and a rift forms within the group. To amend things, Katara decides to pull a scam with Toph, but they are caught by an assassin whom Sokka dubs Combustion Man. He uses them as bait in an attempt to kill Aang, but Katara's quick thinking saves the day. As the group settles down for the night, Toph, with Katara's help, sends a letter to her parents. I would just like to say RIP Hawkey, who is never seen again. After this episode.
Wait, really?
Yeah, this is the first and only episode where he appears. We don't know what happens
oh
to him.
Oh my god, what he the never hell? Wow, what continuity nonsense is this? Wow, I was trying to remember. I was like, Hawkey, like, plays a role, right? I'm like, certainly. Wow, okay.
He does not.
Does the letter actually get to Toph's family, or does Hawkey just get shot out of the sky by earthbenders because they're like, oh, Fire Nation intel?
He was gone
oh
too
my God,
soon.
I don't like this line of thinking. Hawkey.
We'll never know.
They send him off to the Earth Kingdom and that's it.
Hawkey like, and Sokka are really developing a bond too. Like,
oh, Hawkey, we barely knew ye. They were. Honestly, the bird was never trained to know where the Beifong's house is.
So, like. Too. I'm glad I wasn't alone.
Yes. I was like, oh, that's not how those work. They have to be, like, trained to, like, go to the actual location.
Yeah.
Right. That's the first thing I thought. Like, how does Hawkey know where to go? Maybe that's why. He probably never made it.
He just was like, I'm free now.
I'm free.
God.
I'm fine with that storyline.
That makes me really sad that like Katara helped write this message, this like heartfelt message to Toph's parents, and it's just fucking gone in the wind.
Oh,
like,
man, it's a thought that counts.
I mean, I think the letter counts a lot too, Steph.
Oh my god. Yeah, after all that resentment and feeling guilty,
just imagine them and they're just like, I hope that's like addressed in the comics. I hope she's like, didn't you get my email? Did you see my text?
Like, we didn't see that.
It went to spam. I'm sorry. RIP Hawkey. We hope you're free somewhere.
Like,
in
I guess.
The Fire Nation.
Yeah, if you're not gonna do your job well or at all, I hope you're enjoying freedom.
I just love also that you get, like, a taste for Sokka's naming abilities again in this episode, because you have Hawkey, Combustion Man, and Sparky Sparky Boom Man.
Sparky Sparky Boom Man.
No, it's a little too, like, clunky. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
Sparky Sparky Boom Man.
There was something about this episode, and then I read in the Avatar Wiki that this is beginning in medias res. Which I feel like is really common in a lot of the shows I've been watching lately.
Yeah.
So it's like, it starts in the middle of the plot and then you like fill in the gaps later, which is a very, it's a choice that they make a lot in This Is Us, where it's kind of like, you open up and some this dramatic shit and then it cuts to like the total beginning where it's like, what the hell is going on?
I really like that because I actually like for a second I forgot like how they got to that point at the beginning and I was just like, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh yeah. So it was like, it was fun to see that because they don't really do that often in the show.
I think it's the only time it happens.
Yeah. I feel like that would be cool if they did it more, but you know, this shit was like made 20 years ago or whatever, so I'm not mad.
Oh man.
Let's focus on like my favorite girl.
Uh-oh.
Katara.
I was so curious.
I know. I was like, ooh, what's Abby going to say?
What's my note here? I put, this was a very annoying way to advance the plot. That's my feelings on it.
Because
it's that same catty shit.
Yeah.
And Aang and Sokka opting out. I mean, Sokka stepped in a little bit and then tried to assist things. But I was just like, it was another episode where, what was it, at the beach? They were doing low blows. where Katara was like saying shit about like, well, your parents, this and that. And I was like, this is too much for me.
Yo, that's fair.
And they don't even have the excuse that they're being exhausted, right? Because yeah. I think that was the issue yeah. last time. It's like, okay, you say stuff when you're tired, but they're fully
cognizant,
aware of what's yeah. going on. Yeah.
I feel like this was like, because there was no actual resolution last time. Mm. It just, like, the episode ended where they, like, and yeah. teamed back up to fight Azula.
Mm, that's fair.
So then, like, there were no apologies said at any point between Katara and Toph. So, like, they needed this, the closure.
Like, yes. like especially with the way that they so easily fall into fighting each other during the training and stuff. It's very much like Katara and Toph have just... and Toph have just kind of had bad blood this whole time.
But then we like, also did have really fair. Nice, like, we all really loved their episode in the Tales of Bossing Say.
Yeah.
And, like, because yeah. that was so refreshing, because that was the first time, like, they were just solidly on the same side. And, like, they still yeah. had that kind of teasing a little bit, but not really, like, but it never crossed that line into, like, oh, are we, like, actually fighting? Yeah.
Kind of I mean, thing. they had the conflict yeah. here on, like, a smaller scale in that episode, too, where Katara was all, like, Toph, are you just gonna lie there all day? Aren't you gonna get up and get dressed and go outside and get some fresh air? You know, like, are you gonna stop being a little slob?
Yeah, it was still, like, the same core problem. But then it was funny at the end where, like, Toph was just like, it's fun arguing mm-hmm. with you. And I'm like, that's fair. I can respect that. Like, some relationships are just, like, that's, like, the base of that relationship that you have with somebody.
I thought it was, as long as we are talking about this, like, Bossing Say thing, I was, like, I had some note about how, I was, like, Katara's trying to do girl bonding with Toph again, but, like, more on Toph's terms this time instead of Katara's terms with the spa. Mm. She was like, now I'm gonna try to meet you where you're at. Yeah. But then she had to, like, be like, I knew this would happen. And Toph's like, no, you didn't, bitch.
Like, like, yeah, I was just like, nobody saw this coming.
No.
Oh my God.
If it weren't for Combustion Man, their scam would have gone off perfectly, probably. Yeah.
I was thinking just more, where do we stand in terms of there's too many scams now, we need to stop? Because I feel like I see where Katara was going. It's like, at some point, you're going to get caught. Yeah. So I can see the intervention there being, like, reasonable.
I also thought Katara was being reasonable, especially because as they went on, it went from, like, scamming people who are scammers themselves to, like, extorting money from just, like, regular citizens. Like, she pretended to get hit by a car. Like.
She's a hashtag girl boss, and she's growing her side hustle. And who are you to step on that?
Oh my God.
Point taken.
I mean, he was a rich dude who was trying to flee the hit and run and thought he could just bribe the cops to let him go instead of having to, you know.
But it worked.
Yeah.
In this man's mind, he was confirmed correct.
Yeah, gotta hope that he doesn't hit another person and try to get out of it the same way with the real cops.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like after hearing the way Stephanie phrased it, where for me it was like, yeah, like, it was fine until it started being, like, more manipulative. Like, I feel like they should have kept to, like, yeah. the smaller scams. And also, like, you know, assuming Sokka's schedule has not completely gone to shit, like, who knows, you know, because again, continuity. But, like,
yeah,
no, I mean, I'm half kidding. Yeah, it's like, who knows how long they were planning to stay in this random town mm-hmm. that, like, they could just, like, get in, get out before, like, there's, like, wanted posters.
The fact also that they were pulling all these scams in, like, the same town.
Yeah.
Because, right. like, it would have been one thing if they were doing it as they traveled and she would, like, hit up a different place every time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, yeah. like, over and over again, scamming the same town.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell are you doing? Like. mm-hmm. But she was getting too caught up in her whole, like, I was like, Toph has never really had to face repercussions for anything before. Mm. Like, this is going into the whole Toph is actually pretty privileged kind of deal. As much as she complains about it, and it does suck, like, the way that her parents treated her, being overly coddled your whole life instead of actually having to, you know, deal with reality. So, like, for her, it was always like, well, I'm just gonna do whatever I want. And that was, you know, the right thing for her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she, like, didn't seem to have a mind for any time that Sokka or Katara, like, brought up concerns.
Yeah.
She was just like, stop hating fun.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like the fact that Katara didn't like it, like, made her double down on it, too. Where she was like, not only am I going to keep scamming, I'm going to ramp it up.
I was just out of spite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, that's some shit I would do.
They made so much money, yeah, though. I'm like, you have enough. Like, let it go.
I feel like that was it, too. Like, it almost felt like at a certain point, money stopped becoming money to Toph, and it was just, like, a thing to win and accumulate. Where it was, like, and again, like, kind of, like to Steph's point, where it was, like, that they started extorting, like, I mean, obviously, I feel like the way that they set up that specific hit-and-run guy, obviously, like, he was rich, therefore, like, probably not a good person, and, like, you know, obviously tried to flee the scene of a crime where he hit a child. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, I'm sure, like, not everybody they were scamming was, like, a bad guy kind of thing, where it's, and part of it's, like, a lot of people in those positions, like, hustle because they don't have a choice. And, like, there was, like, that disconnect of, like, that as well, where it's just, like, well, she's, like, rich. She's never had to, like, deal with money. And, like, now she's, like, oh, this is fun and easy. Like, why don't more people just do this? Like, I don't know.
Toph is just, like, hey, poor people, have you given not being poor a try?
Such a valid point.
It's really easy. All you have to do is just take what you want.
Yeah, oh, like, my God.
I mean, as much as we're saying about it, I loved the, like, scam montage, though.
I liked Aang, like, flipping all the coins onto his elbows like a fool right after he had made his avatar reveal promise to Katara that they wouldn't. Yeah. I was like, you little punks.
But, like, for real, like, that, her wanted, well, it was 1,000 gold pieces for her. I was just like, Toph, you, like, fucked up. She, again, she was, like, this, like, seeing it as, like, a goal to, like, make it higher and higher. And I'm just like.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, when Sokka was all like, there's a wanted poster for you. And she was just like, oh, my God, that's so cool. Yeah. This is great. I feel like a pirate. Like, she has no concept of, like, how bad things actually are in this.
Yeah. Because, like, getting caught and actually having to face those consequences, like, never entered her mind.
Right.
As even a possibility.
Yeah. I think it was on one of the Avatar. I don't know if it was on the extras or if it was on the wiki page. The wanted poster was catching on to her just existing, that they thought that she's acting as a blind person because she was, like, succeeding as it. So that was, like, in the wanted poster, which I found very interesting because, like, they couldn't even fathom
that a blind child
doing this. Yeah.
It's just another layer of the scam.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I love the wanted poster, like, the picture.
Yeah.
With its sharp teeth.
I actually have Toph's wanted poster on my bedroom wall.
Oh my, like, god.
Amazing. And, like, it's a very accurate little sketch of her, I would
say. It really is. When Sokka was like, it is pretty good, I was like, it is. Like,
Sokka was, like, kind of jealous. He was like, I can't capture her features as well.
Just, it really captured the essence of Toph. Just, truly. Like, demonic shark-like grin. That's Toph.
Yeah, I at the beginning of this episode, it was, like, interesting when Katara just started digging into, like, Toph's psyche.
Yes.
It almost felt, like, out of nowhere a little bit. But again, it's like, we had been talking about every time they have this fight, like, that sort of stuff comes up, like parenting and, like, being in charge kind of stuff. But it was like, Katara just fucking went for it.
She really did.
Yeah. And I, like, at first I was kind of split because I totally understood why she'd just, like, zero in and go for the kill. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, I still felt bad and I felt like it was, like, a low blow as well.
And that was right in front of, like, Sokka and Aang, too.
Yeah.
I was like, that's one thing to say it, like, one-to-one, but now you're in front of an audience and that's, like, triangulating them. And when Katara was like, well, what do you think, Sokka? And that shit was scary. I don't like when people try to involve me in their drama.
Yeah.
I'm more of a watch from the side type person because I'm like, I don't I don't want to take any part in this.
Yeah. That's, like, I appreciated Sokka was like, I'm not getting involved. Yeah. Like, I'm not making any comments about whether or not you mother people.
Yeah. And then Aang with foot and mouth.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know. It's like, just don't.
Classic Aang. Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for Katara at the beginning because I mean, we've talked about this before, but it's just like, yeah, she has to always be the one in charge in those, like, emotionally supportive ways because nobody else will. And people think, like, well, we don't need that. But then if that's true, then nothing ever gets fucking done.
Right.
Like, no one's thinking about the meals. Like, it's one thing to think about, oh, what's dinner tonight versus, like, what's going to be dinner for the next 4 days. Where it's like Aang and Sokka would just be like, oh, I don't know, we'll figure it out. And it's like, that's not good enough when you're, like, living the life they're living. So, like, I really did feel bad for her because I feel like when you have to be that person constantly, it definitely does come at the expense of, like, your personality and how your personality is perceived in like a group, and yeah. like that's so annoying.
Right. Then the only reward you get is people telling you that you're like
a killjoy,
a fun sucker.
Yeah. And it's like, as someone who's worked in management, like that's definitely happened before, where it's like you want to be like fun and hanging out with the group, but then you're also the one keeping an eye on the clock, and you're like, okay, well, like we have to stop because there's a meeting. And like maybe you would have realized it, but you probably wouldn't have until you were like 7 minutes late and like our boss is mad at both of us sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like I like how they kind of explored that a little bit more, because it's like, you know, they called her bossy. That's like the classic thing. Like we joke about, I mean, girl boss is a very loaded word, you know, but like the bossy part of that obviously is just like, you know, a word that kind of is used to disarm women a lot. So it's like that got thrown at her, and like different phrases like that get thrown at her. So I really appreciated like that end scene with like Sokka and Toph so much, because I felt like it helped kind of point out like both like the weird dynamics that exist in that like role in a group.
I'm not gonna lie, I started tearing up when Sokka was talking to Toph on the cliff.
Mm. Yeah.
When he was talking about like not remembering his mom's face and like only seeing Katara anymore. Yeah. I was like, oh, I can't.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It was like so vulnerable. Like I feel like we don't really see him like that ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is true.
And I feel like it shows you like they both, like when their mom died, like Sokka said it, Katara kind of like filled in that role. So I feel like she didn't get to process it the same way that he did. Like nobody filled in that role for her. Right. So then it's kind of like she tried to hold the family together. I mean, she had her grandmother, I guess, but like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, we are going to see later on this season just how much she hasn't fully processed her mother's death. But this is like a good glimpse at it, and kind of like an explanation from Sokka's point of view about like what happened after that, you know?
Yeah, I feel like in the same way that she put Sokka like in a lose-lose, like by what Abby was saying, by like calling him out and be like, what do you think? It's like Katara's also just constantly in that rock in a hard place kind of position in the group. Because because Toph like does not cut her a break ever until like this
episode.
That's
so true.
Yo, and by the way, when Toph was like yelling at Katara about, or not yelling, when Toph was all like, you need to calm down, she's like, this is great. We're living the life. We're just a bunch of kids traveling the world. We have no parents around to tell us what to do. And I was like, wow, you are saying this to the wrong audience right now, Toph.
I thought the same thing. I was like, they don't have
You need
parents.
More awareness, because the rest of these people have, like, Katara and Sokka have, like, parental abandonment issues. And Aang's people were literally genocided.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, not by choice, unlike you.
Like, they're like the opposite. They want their parents back. That's like their main personal angst.
Yeah.
That was classic, like, oh, spoken from the perspective of a privileged person. Like, it's all that kind of bullshit where it's like, I don't know. I felt like that way that when I was in grammar school, it was always like the rich kids who would say like dumb shit like that. Yeah. Where it's like, you have no idea what the impact of things that you're saying to people.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like you have everything. So you don't know what it's like to have like the lack of.
Right.
So yeah, I felt that cut a little bit. I was like, oh, Toph. But she doesn't know. I wrote a note to myself. Right. I was like, I need to remember that they're kids. So I'm. It's not that I was completely disappointed by this episode, but like they are a group of four children who are like trying to save the world. And I'm like, I can't even be mad when they have arguments like this because they're traumatized.
Right. Yeah. And it is worth, you know, keeping in mind also that this doesn't dismiss Toph's personal trauma, which is very much like her entire thing is actually very much about the way her parents treated her, and like it's not like I wouldn't feel comfortable either being like, well, Toph, you need to suck it up because at least you have parents. Like it's still valid to feel for her to have all these complicated emotions about them.
Yeah,
like I get annoyed when people are like, well, at least you have, like, if someone's complaining about something, like, well, at least you have parents. And I'm like, that's not like always a great way to look at it, because you don't know what people's relationships with their parents are. Like, okay, on Reddit, I go on to the, like, it's like about mother-in-laws, like really bad mother-in-laws. And somebody was writing about like, oh, I have this issue with like my mother and the way she treats my kids versus the way she treats my sister's kids, whatever. And then someone was like, you should just be grateful that your children have grandparents. And I'm like,
that's not it.
I'm like, also, this is like not the like forum for you to be on to say that kind of thing, because this whole thing is about, you know, the like complicated relationships you have sometimes with those people, and it's like too reductive of a statement. So like, I think Toph's relationship with her parents is obviously not good. Like, they never really understood who she actually is as a person because they, like, forced her to hide it. Yeah. So I don't know if it ever... Yeah. We've never read the comic. So I'm like, I would like for them to actually reconnect and maybe for her parents to understand her. But I don't know how realistic that is based on, like, how they were.
Yeah. And, like, when Toph was talking to Sokka on the cliff and she was saying, well, the truth is, you know, Katara, like, with her motherliness, at least she actually cares about the real me, yeah. which is more than my own mother ever did.
Right.
I was like, oh, my heart.
It was nice to know that even though Toph acts like a little shit all the time to Katara, like, she, like, clearly this was not the first time she was realizing that all. Like, she was like, no, she's fucking nice and she takes care of us.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just, she's just like, there's just something about her that I have to just fucking, like, annoy the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like she's just like an annoying little sister or something. Where she's just like, I can't help
she's
it.
She's like, it's fun winding her up. That's the.
Yeah. Like, she's just like, that's valid.
I did appreciate that they both apologized at the end.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they both, you know, were wrong and right in different ways.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. That was a nice resolution. But you know what resolution I didn't like?
Uh-oh.
Katara needing to waterbend her sweat.
I love that.
I was like, this is such a stupid resolution and I hate every second
of
it.
You didn't love that super dramatic front shot of her hands crossed on her armpits and then they swirl out and there's just... way too much fucking sweat.
Way too much sweat. Yeah, I did think that. I went, oh god, how much does she sweat? Like,
an absurd amount of
sweat. It's crazy. I knew instantly. I feel like I don't remember watching this episode, but like when they were in the wooden cell, suddenly Katara has little droplets on her forehead. I was like, are they gonna fucking waterbend her sweat? And they freaking did. So stupid.
I feel like it's supposed to be a lead in a little bit to the next episode.
Yeah, it's a nice setup for the next episode.
Yeah.
It's very much like she's thinking outside the box,
mm-hmm.
which is it even ties into, you know, with Sokka's master with the sword, and he's like, the real advantage in a fight is the ability to think outside the box. In this case, they were literally trapped in a box. And they were like, what do we do? How are we supposed to get out? We have no earth or water. And Katara's like, wait, I can just make water, you know? So it was supposed to be clever to show that she's...
Oh, well, yeah. The issue was
just that sweat is disgusting.
Yes, that's a lot of sweat.
It's not even that she used sweat. For me, it would have made sense if she managed to get, like, a little bit, and then she had to just keep, like, ting, 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 like, a lot, like...
Yeah.
Versus,
instead of it being,
doom,
like...
Doom, like, these huge, like...
full-on waves of water. I was like, what the fuck?
Like, I'm like, girl, you're dehydrated. You're not just... sweating, you're passed out on the floor. Like, that's what's happening.
It is the Fire Nation. I assume that it's very hot all the time, given the way they dress. And especially for her who's from the South Pole.
At least it wasn't like spit.
It would have been a spit would have been more realistic for how much
I guess. But like what? Her and Toph just like sit there spitting on the floor.
Honestly, if we're being survivalist, the most practical thing for her to have done would have been to have peed.
Yes. I agree.
That's true.
But obviously, like, they're not going to show that. But that, the most realistic thing would have been...
Because cartoons can make poop jokes, but not pee jokes.
No.
Yeah, but, like, pee was the way to go.
Oh, my God.
Then they would have had the amount, and then on top of that, she would have thrown it at somebody, and then it would have been awful.
God.
Yeah, oh, my God. I'm thinking about what she did to Sparky Sparky Boom Man. But, like...
but it's just, like, her fucking pee.
Ew. Yo, I'm dead.
Oh my god. Wait.
They would like constantly know where he was because they'd be able to smell her pee in the air. They'd be like, he's that way.
This is such a disgusting conversation.
Anyway.
I have so many regrets.
I mean, I'm just thinking about this practically, guys.
When she hit Sparky Sparky Boom Man with that ice in the head, by the way, both times I watched it, literally for like a second, I thought she friggin' decapitated him.
That would have been cool. If his head was just floating inside, that would have been amazing.
Oh my god.
You know, it was like really kind of violent.
I've been traumatized though.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely not as violent as a similar scene that happens in Korra.
Yeah.
That is like the most badass scene in Korra, like I have to say. Like the most like brutal scene in Korra.
I don't know.
Yeah.
How the scene is.
but like it definitely like harkens back to this one, or like yeah. they're definitely like linked.
I did have that thought when I saw it. It made me think of that. The deaths, there are like a lot of pretty brutal deaths in Korra.
Yeah. Mm. Korra, like they're still not as, like they're not necessarily shown on camera, but like they're kind of, a lot of them are, and like they're kind of like actually graphic if like you like think about what actually happened. Yeah. Where here it's just kind of, everything's a bit vague, or it's off screen, or like you see a crash, but then you see like a parachute or something.
Or like even though this guy's head was frozen in ice, he was fine.
Yeah.
He just like, broke it. I was like,
honestly, that was so weird that he had like, he was just fine. That's so weird.
I know, he should have had like some ice burns or something. Mm.
Speaking of Sparky Boom Man, is his downfall really just going to be like flicking a pebble into the third eye?
He shows up again. He comes back after this.
No, but like, is that really going to be his weak point? Like, it's literally just me like, nope, you're totally done. I was like, this is so fucking stupid.
I mean, it's not like, it's a little more than that.
I honestly can't remember, so I'm excited.
Oh, you can't? I do. Because it's actually pretty cool how it happens, okay, in my opinion.
Okay. I was like, it better be some sort of epic takedown instead of like,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Watch me get there, and Jen and Abby are both going to be like, Stephanie, what the hell are we talking about?
No, I think it's cool, and I'll tell you why I think it's cool when we get there, but you're going to be like, Stephanie, you're a dumbass. But, like,
okay. Well, it's interesting. I'm on the Avatar wiki for this episode. I'm not going to look ahead. And like, they have a photo of him, and they say Combustion Man's chi is blocked. And like, I didn't actually even realize that in the episode. I thought she just, it was like a sensitive, I mean, it makes sense that it's still like a pressure point or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I didn't actually even think it had anything to do with chi. I just thought like she like hit him in like the right spot and it just threw off his like focus or balance or whatever, not his chi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was like almost that's like where blocked it's coming up or something. From. Like it blocked up or something. So then he tried to shoot again, but instead it just imploded.
Oh, I didn't even think about it being like she, or intentionally or not, like she chi blocked him.
Right.
Okay, so it's like a Ty Lee.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if she meant to do that. Except it was
completely by luck.
Yeah, it was totally like by chance. Yeah, but now maybe they picked up from that and they like know, like, oh, okay, he does have a weak point or something. But again, I do not remember the final fight at all. So that's exciting.
It's like also kind of like half funny because, well, whatever.
All right.
We'll talk about it when we get there. There's like humor in the fight as well. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, obviously like a man is murdered. We have to make it funny.
Yeah.
These darn kids' cartoons.
That's true.
Oh my god. Can't wait for that.
Also, he was humongous. Did you see how much he had to duck to get through that doorway into the jail? Yeah. I was like, how tall is this man?
Yeah.
Also, Katara is like 14, so she's like a child. But I was just like, the like size difference is insane. Yeah.
I was also like, at the end when like the whole village was empty and they like even noted it, I'm just like, did he tell the cops to like evacuate the city and they just listened to this random scary person?
Honestly, it seemed like they did. I actually was like, you know what? Kudos to Combustion Man for like getting rid of Fire Nation citizen collateral damage. Even if...
Yeah, I was just like, he is a Fire Nation person, I assume.
Yeah.
Even if part of it may have been due to him being like part of his job, I guess, is to like keep the fact that it's literally the Avatar a secret, like that Zuko hired him for. I mean, because all this, like, I assume that everything they did was just based on like specs he gave them without explanation, where he was like, make sure you put them in a wooden cell.
Yeah.
And they would be like, what? Why do you? And he's like, I'm not answering questions about this.
Honestly, this is one of those things where, like, hearing you break it down makes me imagine him having to run around and set up all of, like, the admin side of this. And it's just making me...
that was a good plan.
It's just making me laugh. Because
he did. He needed to, like, coordinate the entire thing. He needed to be, like, predict that they were gonna try to cash in on this reward. He probably set it up, even. He was like, this is gonna be the bait. And he had to, like, also keep the cops from, like... I'm pretty sure he had to, like, not explain to the cops why he needed it to be wooden and not metal, because he's like, I can't actually let them know that these kids are like not Fire Nation, because that's part of the Avatar secret.
Yeah.
He's like, evacuate the whole town. Hypothetically, it's going to be to avoid destruction of lives, but realistically, it's probably just so that people don't see the battle, like, and know that they do other bending. Like, he set the whole thing up.
This just makes me laugh, because I'm like, I mean, right now I'm imagining him like having like to be on the phone and like calling this office and calling this office and like.
I mean, Zuko did say that he was like, he's the best at what he does. And that being the best comes with having to be able to do administrative duties. You can't just be a good fighter.
Like, maybe actually, he has an assistant. That he's like.
I'm screaming. He has his own LLC for assassinations. Like,
he has like multiple Hawkies that he has, then they all have like different tasks that they're good at.
He has a PA and he just
also because he like doesn't talk, right? Does he just like memo them all the time?
He must.
Honestly, I prefer that. Like, don't call me. Just send me an email. Like, I don't want
to. I mean, that was funny. They like made that joke in the episode. Oh my God. Too. They're just like, it's really nice to talk to people, but not have to actually talk to them.
Yeah, and Toph was like, I love the sound of not having to hear your voice.
I feel like with her, there was always like an extra level of her jokes because it's just like, sure, you could text me, and then it's just like, never gonna see it, bitch. Like,
it's funny that like literally 3 times this episode they forgot that she was blind.
Yeah,
I can't.
I loved that they like repeated the gag with the wanted poster too, though.
Yeah,
and like, what dumbasses Sokka and Aang are. Like, let's write a letter.
That was so funny.
I loved their moments.
They were so
good. Sokka and Aang continue to be like this amazing bro TP. I love them so much. They're so cute. When Aang's just like, wow, I gotta say, Sokka, you continue to impress me with your ideas. Like,
you can't even be mad at how dumb he is in that moment because he's so sincere.
Even like Aang committing to Sparky Sparky Boom Man. Like, when they're getting attacked, it's Sparky Sparky Boom Man. Literally, when they were just like, oh, I can't believe we forgot Toph can't write. Yeah, we're idiots.
Funny.
Oh my God.
And then Aang suggested they send a letter to Toph from Katara. And so I was like, that's also not going to work.
I get the feeling we're going to run into a similar problem.
I forgot how that moment went. So I honestly thought when they were going to send Haki to Katara, I really thought Haki was going to just fly away and like not come back. I honestly was like, is this what's going to happen? Because again, I could not remember this bird. Especially knowing it never fucking comes back. Like, that, I'm still not over that. I know that was literally like the first thing we talked about. But I'm like, what do you mean it took off with Toph's letter and we never see it again?
I know. I was thinking about that too. I was like, they had enough money that he can spend on this bird, which I'm assuming costs a lot of money. And I now mean,
they
it's
had
like
money from Boba scamming. Like,
yeah, it's just like gone forever.
This is just like every other time they buy equipment. Like, it's gone by the next episode.
When Toph was like, buy yourself something pretty to Sokka. Like,
I feel like that's just funny because you know he will, unironically.
Yeah.
His bag. His
he was like,
bag.
I am very weak for shopping. And she was like, I'll tell you what, make an atlas. And he was like, oh, I'm so weak.
Oh my God. See, and I'm just like, you, again, like, I'm pretty sure you guys lose your shit an average of like every 1.3 episodes. So what really, what's
They're
the
buying
point?
So much useless shit. Did you notice they bought that monkey statue? It came back. One of the things they bought was the monkey statue.
I saw that and I was like, but Uncle Iroh also had bought that monkey statue. So there just must be like multiple monkey statues that look the same.
It's just like the first mass produced object.
It's like this ugly monkey.
I was thinking about statues because it kept on centering in on Fire Lord Ozai's statue. And I was what is it with human civilization and statues? It's just like, I never really thought about it, but it's always just like, why is this a
we
thing?
We do love that shit. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't
know. I did note that like right at the beginning because they show it, you know, in the first shot.
Right.
Where I was like, you know, this Ozai statue, this says a lot probably about them, like, you know, symbolically or Ozai and stuff, where it's this huge, it's like fierce. He's like bending fire. He looks, and it's like gigantic.
Yes.
And directly in the center of town. And the way the town is formatted is like completely like, it's absolutely the focal point of the town. All sight lines and paths lead to this gigantic statue of Ozai. Like,
like, what was there before he became Fire Lord, like, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe just a fountain. Like, a regular fountain.
Yeah. I saw a thing online one time that was, like, a picture of a statue of Fire Lord Zuko in Korra. Mm-hmm. And that one was, like, much smaller, and, like, he's not, like, all fierce bending like that. He's just kind of, like, I don't know, leading the way.
He's holding the flame, it's like a light, like a beacon of hope, more than, like, yeah. destructive masculine power! Like, all this machismo bullshit.
Yeah, it was, it's a little weird to me that, like, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about all the statues in Korra. But it's true, like, humans just love making statues of people.
Yeah.
I, for one, would never want a statue of myself. I'm just, like, if I was in power, I do not want that.
Yeah.
Everyone take note.
Yes. When I eventually take over the world, please don't make any statues of me.
I'm like, oh, or is God. This a test? And if we don't do it, we're in trouble.
A statue in every home.
Oh my God. Mass-produced Abby statues.
I like some of the little continuity things and stuff. I mean, I know this is something that Avatar is generally pretty good at, but just things like how Aang has, like, a little scar on the bottom of his foot because, mm-hmm. like, that's where the lightning went into his body, like, things like that.
Yeah. You know what I didn't like? That Katara didn't even give that soup a fucking second to cool off before she flung it into Appa's mouth. And I was like, what? Like, come on. Like, I appreciate you feeding him.
She's a waterbender. Maybe she cooled it off while she was waterbending it in the air.
I certainly hope so. And I understand that Appa, you know, that was like a blip on the radar for him.
You know, Katara, she's so motherly. She probably immediately, she would have cooled it off. She would have been like,
okay. That's
blow
true.
On the water. Like...
But, like, she literally just, like, out of, like, the pot on the stove, on, like, the fire, into his mouth. I was like, did you burn your little tongue, Appa? Like, are you okay? I got scared.
The way he, like, opened for it, I was like, this is a routine for them, though.
Yeah, it was really cute. Yeah, she was so used to just, like, getting all the soup for him. And, like, again, this is, like, we were laughing one time because it's, like, what, they gave him, like, an apple? And we were like, what does that even do? Even, like, a watermelon, like, that time he split, like, a melon with Momo. And we were just like, okay, but this is, like, half of Momo's body weight. And this is, like, you know, the size of one of your ears. Like, what's happening here?
I'm dead. It's like, hey, human, take this one popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like enough calories to like blink. Like, yes.
Oh yeah. Speaking of Appa, when Sokka was like, "Appa, you're in charge," and then he like screamed,
"Oh my god!" Yeah.
That was so funny. He's like, "Don't you fucking dare!"
Yeah, that was really funny, especially because like again, I really thought Haki. I was like, they were setting up all these fun little cute dynamics, and I was very excited to see them continue to evolve in the rest of the season.
Oh my gosh, right? Like, when Sokka first got Haki and he was just, like, giving him the rules of the group, and he was like, no, we already have a lemur, so I don't want to see any roughhousing between you two.
Oh my god.
Like, now he's just gone.
He's just gone. Commemorative episode.
We had too little time with him. We deserved
I
more.
I hope he's happy.
Honestly.
And we never saw Toph's letter, right? Like,
yeah,
he just like runs away with Toph's letter. Like, what the fuck?
And also, what must have that conversation been like with Sokka? Like, Sokka, we know you just paid a lot of money for this bird, and you were really excited about it and using it. But it's gone. Like,
I mean, Toph could have just been like, "It was my money, bitch."
I feel like it was actually like legitimately expensive.
Yeah.
Except to train them, it apparently wasn't. To train them, apparently, it only cost, like, 3 copper pieces for, like, a training session. Which, like, they could have fucking invested in that shit.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Well, good thing they didn't. Or maybe if they did train him, he'd come back. I don't fucking know. I don't know how this works.
Yeah.
He was never taught to come back.
You know what?
Maybe he did come back, but they were gone.
Oh my god, that's true. So sad for Haki.
Oh my god, Haki was like, oh my god, I have these friends, and it's like they're nice to me, and this lemur, we have a fun relationship, and like the big one keeps us safe, and then it's like I'm back, new family, and then they're fucking
gone.
Oh my
god.
Another part of the group that has parental traumas.
Yeah.
You get abandonment issues.
god.
This does actually lead me to, like, seriously wondering, what about, like, all those Fire Navy ships and stuff that send messenger hawks? Like, how do the birds find them again if they're on a ship and moving?
There must be an actual way that it works, but, like, I don't know enough about, like, I don't know, our real world.
Like, how do birds even find them to deliver messages? Like, when those guys in the beginning of the season were like, oh, well, you know, nice of Admiral Chan to send us a hawk telling us that, like, the fleet was doing such and such. And I'm like, so they receive hawks on their ships.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm, like, curious now about, like, messenger pigeons. And
doesn't your family, like, have pigeons? Or, oh, no, they're, like, fancy pigeons.
Yeah, my uncle breeds fancy pigeons.
Yeah, like, never mind. Not messenger ones.
Show pigeons.
Yeah. Because I was just like, Stephanie, doesn't your family, like, do this? But just kidding.
But, yeah, nope. The messenger pigeons, I'm guessing, they're stationary. Like, they'll always have one place to come back, and the family doesn't leave. So we don't know how that works.
I'm really curious
when you're constantly
now
on the move.
They know the routes. I know, like, you have to teach them the routes. So I feel like if they know that, like, the ships always go this way, and it's like they just, if they see one, they go to it. And then once they go to it, like, they probably know they can't send it to, like, a different ship or something. Like, they have to send it, like, back and forth to land for, like, a base point.
Yeah. Like, maybe they're just fixed touch points or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And, like, obviously, like, these were, like, used during actual wars and shit. So it's like, there's definitely a system. We just don't fucking know. Like, let's just assume the best for Hawkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
He's out having a good time.
You know what? Let's assume Hawkey got intercepted at the Earth Kingdom. They saw the Beifong name. Toph's privilege was used for good. The letter got sent, and then they, like, kept the bird or something.
That's a good way to tie it up.
They tried to keep the bird, but then Hawkey flew free.
Yeah. Yeah, because the key point is we want the letter to have been delivered.
Yeah.
Right? And then he's still happy, whether he's in captivity or if he's free.
Right. The two things we want most out of this episode. One, Toph's letter to actually get to her parents. Two,
yes,
Hawkey gets to live his best life. Like,
on that note, is there anything else that we want to talk about that we haven't covered already?
They're not really, like, discussion points, but I thought that Katara being like, no, I'm fun, and, like, putting Momo on her head was, it was, like, kind of, like, a good callback to Sokka's master when she was like, I can be fun like Sokka. Look, Momo is shedding. Like, I was like, Katara, you try and you fail.
Oh my god, it's so cringy.
Improv is hard. So
put on the spot like that.
That and I liked how Aang's, like, this show of Aang's training kind of paying off, where he's doing this blindfold training with Katara and Toph at the beginning, learning to use it not just for earthbending stuff, but to, you know, do water bending. And then it pays off later on when Combustion Man, like, inhales and Aang senses it.
Yeah.
He uses air sense the same way Toph uses earth sense.
Yeah.
To be like, oh shit, something's happening behind me with the air. So I was like, yes! Training improvement.
It was fun seeing them all train together. Yeah. And, like, it makes sense that, I mean, it, like, got out of hand, obviously, but, like, it makes more sense for Katara and Toph to even just train separately from Aang.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, they should get used to, I mean, I guess Toph's probably not going to encounter, like, you know, fighting against waterbenders the way that, like, Katara has had to deal with, like, multiple earthbenders.
Right.
And I guess moving forward, it's mostly going to be, like, firebenders anyway, but still.
Doesn't hurt to go up against somebody with, like, different,
like, movements and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Toph is very used to fighting other earthbenders, but, like, she got blown off her feet by Aang the first time he showed up, literally. Because she was like, what the hell is happening?
I also enjoyed that Sokka tried to, like, involve himself also.
Sneak attack!
Oh
my god. I felt so disrespected. Like, twice in this episode where it's like the one time when Toph just puts his, like, special sword up. I know she knew she was gonna win, but still the audacity to just, like, bet his sword. And then also that, like, after Sokka had just had this really great, like, dignified episode, and then, like, he's back to the punchline, and I was just like, I don't expect anything else. Like, I'm not even disappointed, but I like, felt for him still. And then Aang, yeah. Like, it helps if you don't shout it.
Pro tip.
I mean, he was just gonna, like, hit him with, like, his arm. Like his arm was a sword. His hand was, like, up flat like this. And I'm like, Sokka, you could have literally run at Aang with I don't know, a stick or like your sword in its scabbard and not yelling sneak attack.
Yeah. Like, just little things.
Did you learn nothing from Pian Dao in the 1.5 days you were learning from him?
Like, oh my god. You're like master class.
1.5 days. I'm screaming. I forgot about that.
Oh my god.
Anything else? Okay. So thinking about the MVPs, I wrote in my notes that the fake MVP is Haki, but I actually want my actual MVP to be Haki because he just did so much.
He deserves better.
He really deserves better. So Haki is my MVP for this episode.
Oh my gosh. My MVP slash my favorite moment was Sokka because of that. The conversation he started with Toph. I was like such a highlight for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sokka's my MVP too for like the same reasons. Plus I just loved all of his parts like with Aang.
Yeah. If you can hear that and I'm not able to edit it, those are Stephanie's dogs.
Yep.
My MVP is Stephanie's dogs right now. No. I actually did not choose an MVP. But, I mean, you guys are right. Sokka's moment was great. Sokka and Aang were adorable. I don't know. They were all cute and funny, but I was like, eh.
Honestly, like, if I didn't... I had, like, the fake MVP, but then the actual MVP, I didn't pick anybody type of thing. Because I felt like no one really... It was, like, an equal amount of stuff. But I can also see that Sokka, he had a lot of, like, stuff that moved the plot forward, but also a lot of comedic stuff as well in the episode. So maybe I would have picked Sokka. But at this point, before we recorded, I was like, I don't think I have one.
Yeah. Because I was, like, my initial thing was, like, I was like, I don't know, I guess either Toph or Katara, but I don't really, like.
The MVP is Katara's sweat.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad that it was, like, their episode, but I was, like, not even thinking about them for MVP.
Yeah.
Or the MVP's friendship. There's that.
Maybe Combustion Man. He had a plan.
Oh my god.
The logistical planning.
Like the MVP, like, in a corny way, the MVP could be, like... You know, I feel like the highlight of the whole Toph Katara conflict is, like, neither of them was right and neither of them was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like... It was kind of a bit more nuanced than even, like, this show, it handles nuance pretty well. But I feel like this was a topic that, like, as a kid, I feel like it just went over my head. And I was like, yeah, Katara's a killjoy. And then now as an adult, I'm just like, I understand both of these people very well.
Yeah, that is a good point. Okay. Honor count is at 7 still because our boy was not present.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
He's somewhere brooding, probably. And
he's still chewing on his whole revelation about the fact that he has everything he ever wanted and he's still not happy and he doesn't know what to do with that.
You know what? That's fair. He needs time to process that.
Yeah, he can't just make a decision just like that. He needs to like percolate on it for a while before he figures out what to do next. So yeah. I appreciate that they're actually giving him time to do that.
Yeah. Zuzu, we're excited to see what nonsense you'll come out of your reflective period, which probably not a lot. All right, y'all. Well, this has been Pod Sing Se and Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. Join us next week where we will discuss Book 3, Chapter 8, The Puppet Master. If you haven't already, please leave us a rating and subscribe to us on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. Thank you all so much for listening and talk to you again soon. Bye!